Harlequin Audio is proud to bring you Chasing Shadows, a South Shores novel by Karen Harper, performed by Courtney Patterson. Chapter 1. Naples, Florida. Collier County Courthouse, 2014. Surely nothing else could go wrong now. As Claire Britton and her client left the courtroom in triumph, she was convinced she was on a roll. She felt like making a fist pump in the air, but she kept her cool. As a 30-something single mother struggling with building a career and coping with a dreadful disease, this high-profile victory had to help. Her interviews and testimony had made all the difference in the trial. A guilty man was going to prison instead of hiding out so he and his family could enjoy a $3 million death settlement. Her current client, Lifeboat Insurance, small as it was, had beaten out the vaunted law firm of Markwood, Benton, and Chase. She'd helped to best the best in the business. Claire was swept outside with her boss and their lawyer, past the big pillars holding up the shaded, covered walkway. They hit a wave of humidity and reporters, washing toward them in the mid-September afternoon. She fumbled in her purse for her sunglasses amid shouted questions, the thrust of arms with recorders, padded microphones on poles, jostling, shouting. Over the crowd noise, her client, Fred Myron, shouted in her ear, "That fancy defense lawyer's the one who needs a lifeboat now. I'm going with this for all it's worth. I see cameras from Fort Myers, even Orlando. Look at that! CNN!" A long pole with a padded microphone brushed Claire's shoulder, and someone shouted, "Miss Britton, tell us how you first knew the wife and son were lying. Hadn't Saul Sorrento covered his tracks to make everyone think he drowned in Key West? What were the clues he wasn't dead?"
"As I testified on the stand," Claire answered, "Mrs. Sorrento and Mario sometimes slipped into the present tense when talking about him. I theorized they knew he was alive and were in contact with him. Then a call they made was traced to the Bahamas, where the insurance firm detective took over to locate him." Another voice, a woman's.
"Miss Britton, can you explain for our viewers what you mean by a forensic autopsy you did on the accused? You're not a doctor, but that sounds really medical, and you didn't even have a body to work with."
"I am not a medical doctor or a psychiatrist, but a forensic psychologist. A forensic autopsy, which some call a psychological autopsy, means taking apart and studying a person's life, often their motives and alibi. I do interviews, not interrogations, of those close to the deceased to learn who might be responsible for foul play. Please take a look at my website and..." Someone bumped into her from behind, pressing closer. The crowd noise and a small jet going over made her shout to be heard. Oh, it wasn't a jet, but a drone. Could the media be filming from it? Or could it belong to security here? Its whine was like a screaming mosquito, and it wasn't even directly overhead. It seemed to hover above the Sorrento defense team. A few others looked up at it, too. She asked the reporter, "Can we just step over there a minute in the grass in the shade of the palms?" Surely this publicity would lead to more future clients than her business Facebook page and website had brought in. This would be a starred item in her meager resume. She'd already been covered in the Naples Daily News, so she was banking on that to promote her struggling one-woman certified fraud examiner and forensic psychologist business she'd named Clear Path. Despite Jace's monthly child support, she wanted to stand on her own, for herself and little Lexi. Besides, she believed in her work and maybe now could start believing in herself again. But had she remembered to take her meds on time? Spending so much time in court had played havoc with her schedule. She'd like to pop a piece of chocolate for some quick caffeine, but not with everyone watching. She'd had to miss her short afternoon nap. All week she'd had to cut back on her regular jolts of caffeine so she didn't have to run to the bathroom during testimony, and so she could be there for the reading of the verdict. All she needed was to doze off or have a horrible hallucination triggered by all this emotion. Fred kept a firm hold on her arm. No doubt he wanted in on this interview.
She wondered if any of these reporters would turn up that having to pay the huge death insurance benefits for sole surrender.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?